You're listening to the New Utah Podcast with your hosts, Bree.
People can say my name and I still don't pay attention.
Chris.
This is what happens when your number one health concern in the state is porn.
Jeremy.
Flicks it and then walks up and just kicks the living crap out of whoever.
It's episode 413 of the New Utah Podcast. I'm going to just come at you hard. Go to our Patreon and sign up. Patreon.com/TNUP. We're trying to build a community. We're almost 8 years in. We're trying to build a community.
We're like only a couple of weeks short of 8 years.
I know. It's really close.
We got some shiz happening in May, too.
Yes, we do.
It's true. It's true.
We got a busy May. It's going to be cool, though.
It'll be fun.
It's not just the business. It's the stuff we have set up for our 8 year anniversary.
Yeah. 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 Our house is back together officially. Like, I think it's back with the exception of the garage.
Yeah, there's like some stuff that needs to be gotten rid of, either dumpster slash DI'd.
Yeah, so I haven't parked in the garage for a week and almost a week to the day.
But I think all of Sean's stuff is out of there now. I think all of so there's one thing that I want to get out of there because I think I have another use for it. But other than that, then everything gets destroyed.
I was going to go to the DI today, but I got way too damn busy. I worked from home today, and man, I was busy. Lots of stuff going on in that space.
No matter how hard I try, my Tuesdays always end up being one of my busiest days of the week. I try not to, but
just happens that way, man.
The harder you try,
So with the housework done-ish, I mean, the renovation's done, so we're back to, like, normalcy in a sense. Now I'm trying to fix my yard again, which last week I probably should have watered it, instead of being like, oh, it's not that bad. Like, it rained on Monday or Tuesday.
Well, we were supposed to have rain, but then we didn't really get
enough rain. And so we're supposed to have rain again later this week. We'll see. But I'm going to start watering the backyard. I really need it to grow back in and get that clover to, the clover started taking root, for sure. Well, you saw it.
I've been watering because just my garden, not my yard. But we've got, potatoes in and peas. That was a few weeks ago. But I've got beans and spaghetti squash in.
Nice.
And those, the sunshine squash.
Oh, yeah.
Those kind of green ones. Anyway, so those are all in. So I've been watering those, but they turned on our secondary water yesterday or 2 days ago. So that's been nice to be able to water my garden.
If I had secondary water, I'd be watering all the time. But I don't. I have Culligan Man water.
Yep.
It's not really cold. It's potable, though, and it's not, it's not secondary, that's for sure.
However, they put meters on us all now, and it was the end of last year, so our secondary water is metered now, so I don't know what that's going to mean. We'll find out as this year goes on.
So, metered meaning you only get so much,
He just said he doesn't know what that means.
Yeah, I don't.
So, you don't know if that means that you're going to pay more, depending on how much you use?
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to work out, but they came and installed the meters like the very end of last year. It's like the last month of last year. And then it showed up on my bill as to how much I used. But I have nothing to compare it to because that was...
I suspect it's going to be similar to potable water where based on the amount that you use, they charge so much.
That's what I'm guessing too. Which, I mean, I kind of get it, but I pay all year. I mean, I pay the same amount, but I pay all year. So the water's off for 4 months out of the year, but I pay that same price year round.
Yeah, and that's probably going to go up would be my guess there, right? Like
I would guess. And I know I just sound snooty, but these newer homes being built should not be getting secondary water.
They didn't get it right on the farmland? They shouldn't have got it, right?
I don't know. I don't know for sure, but
they should. Interesting. They should definitely not have given our desert climate.
Yeah. The fact that ours all had it, but back when our homes were built, like half-acre lots were the minimum.
Well, and that was all farmland. And literally, behind you was farmland until like 2 years ago. So.
Yeah. So, anyway, we'll find out as the summer progresses what that means.
Yeah. And I don't know why, but it makes me think of this. So, you know, because there's some new temples being built. The one in West Jordan is like... You're going to be able to see it from the whole fucking valley. Because where
they're
putting it.
You're going to be able to see it from outer space.
You know when you're going to like, well, you maybe don't because you don't take Bacchus from our house, but you know how like Bacchus.
I do from time to time.
You know how it goes up and there's like a point of a hill at about 70th south?
Right. You crest it and you go down and you're headed toward Josh and Carissa's?
Yeah. Yeah. The temple is going to be in that big spot, basically at the top of the hill west of Bacchus is where it's slated for.
Every top of every hill in this valley has a temple on it.
But that's like, I mean, there's nothing else right there. It's going to be a predominant piece of the landscape out there for sure.
Another tax write-off.
Well,
gotta do something with that money.
Just keep building temples, I guess. They don't even tax write-offs. They're fucking charity That's organization. True. They're a church.
They don't pay taxes. So, you're
so
right.
Stupid.
Not only that, but they have a diminishing.
They do.
What do you call it? Membership. And so, like, what the hell do they need another damn temple for?
So, I think part of it is you do have to show that stuff as
no,
a church.
No, literally in their religion, it's like called something like the. They call it something that says that they should be building temples. It's called something. If I remember it during this podcast, I'll say it, but it's like some edict or whatever of building it's like a large, beautiful space or something like that. Anyway, they've interpreted it as temples. Well, and so they build giant, huge temples with all of this crap in it, saying that it's part of their edict, a part of their religion.
Eddie, is your dog okay? You shouldn't be feeding him from table scraps.
Is she chewing on that fucking piece of plastic that was under there?
Oh,
there was a piece of, like an old squeaker down there. Sometimes she likes to rip those apart and then she like swallows parts of them.
You probably can't hear it, but she's hacking. It reminds me of Christmas Vacation where Uncle Eddie's dog's yakking under the table. No, Clark, he's all right. He's probably just been rummaging through the trash.
So, but it is summertime. I mean, it's spring technically, and it's going to rain again this week, but we're in the 70s. So like we said, you know, really should be planting a lot of your stuff. I don't think we'll have another freeze.
No, we should be good.
At this point,
got the message from IFA yesterday. Bees should be here on Monday.
All right.
Weather permitting, that's always a little, there's been once or twice where the day of, they're like, okay, we had weather.
I remember one year, like, not that long ago, obviously, because within the time we've been doing the podcast, where, like, it snowed the day bees got there.
Yeah.
Like, the bees were there and it snowed.
And I was worried, but they did okay.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, that one might have been a 2-year colony.
That yeah. I remember that. I remember that. Like, I put the bees in and then it snowed.
Yeah. I do remember that. That was an interesting, cause I remember going with you and getting them basically right off the back of the truck.
Yeah.
Cause they obviously don't bring them into the store.
No. Yeah. They either leave the flatbed out for a while or they unload the pallets. I've had it both.
Probably just depends on what the truck's got going on.
Yeah. And then you go get them and they.
And they only hold them for like a few days, right? Yep. Yeah.
So. Well, and one of the things the guy said, in years past when I've had bees die on me too late to order them, he has said, well, when they show up, we almost always have someone that doesn't come get them, so you can always come and see. To me, that's too much of a gamble. If I'm going to do bees, I'm going to pay for them up front. But
but if you had something happen, you could get
last
some
last minute.
Or,
he said there are always a few. But, yeah, it's not like they can just put them on the shelf.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they've only got it.
Just store them for later.
Just stick them around. Yeah, they've only got a short period of time before those bees have got to get out because they can't just live in there.
Yeah, no, there's only so much food that they're able to get, and they, you know, push their poop through the through the fence there.
Well, and
so.
As long and if that queen is in that box, indefinitely, she'll just die.
Yeah, exactly, because she doesn't have that much food or anything. No. In fact, she doesn't have any food, right?
Just that little sugar,
little
plug
tight. So
they put in it, but yeah, so no, that's exciting. Bees on Monday. I'll keep everybody posted.
Cool. One other really big piece of news, Utah has an NHL team now.
Yeah.
Who knows what the name will be?
Thank goodness they're not keeping the Coyotes.
The Eagles?
I doubt they'll take the Eagles. There's probably still a trademark registered for that.
That was a green and yellow team.
When we did our deep dive on the Jazz and all of the hockey, I think there was.
That would have been the Grizzlies, by the way.
Well, yeah. The Grizzlies, but we talked about.
But prior to that, they were the Eagles.
Yeah,
they
Larry Miller owned them in the back. Anyway, yeah. So yes, when we did the deep dive.
At one point, they were the Eagles. And so I'm guessing the Eagles is a trademarked property.
Well, I know when they sold it, they changed the name, but just because they changed the name means the franchise, you can't. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a whole
so they're going to change the name. That's pretty much a done deal. They did register a bunch of trademarks. Utah Blizzard might be, but the memes for what the hockey team will be have been amazing. There's like some image of like a hockey player, but instead of a uniform, he's wearing like elder clothes for like the missionaries. And there's like a whole bunch of names that I've been seeing online from people.
Call the Utah Saints.
So it'll be interesting to see what they decide to go with, but like the Blizzard, I think, is a good name.
Well, and I know we were talking about it, but I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast. The Grizzlies stay. This doesn't affect the Grizzlies.
The Grizzlies are still going to be here. They're still going to be a lower division team.
Yep.
The hockey team will be playing at the Delta Center.
Which is ironic because that's where the...
Ryan Smith talked about wanting to put another stadium downtown and really couldn't get the approval to do that. He looked at coming out south. But I think ultimately he decided, you know, the Delta Center is fine to host both.
That's
right?
where the hockey team used to be, like forever ago.
It was never there. It was,
and it's not like they haven't done ice
at the
before.
Salt Palace.
Oh yeah, the Salt Palace.
They've done ice before there, plenty, because they do Disney on Ice at the Delta Center all the time. So it's just a matter of like, I've seen the transition because hockey and basketball overlap and they both play a million fucking games a season. It will impact scheduling quite a bit, but I've seen video of how they transform hockey arenas into basketball arenas. It's really fucking wild because the floor underneath, once they install all that ice making stuff, that all stays and they just throw a subfloor on top of it basically. But to have to redo the ice constantly has got to be incredibly expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because they do all the paint first, then they flood it.
Yeah.
But it's a whole process.
Yeah, it's a whole process. They put some layer down, then they paint on top of it, then they put another and they paint. And they get the paint like
Paint onto the floor. Then they flood it.
I've seen them paint on the ice before.
I think the quote unquote temporary advertisers and logo go on the ice.
Oh, okay.
So like
under a few
the permanent lines, all that kind of stuff, the logo for the team goes first. Then they'll do like, so if you've got a sponsor that's only going to be there for a month, they'll go kind of at the in between and then they can scrape him off and put another.
Yeah. So anyway,
but it's a whole thing.
It's an interesting decision to go that route, but I mean, you're kind of stuck with what you can, but what Ryan Smith has said and what that group has said is we're going to revitalize that part of downtown pretty significantly. We're going to create an experience. I think he said the six blocks surrounding the Delta Center, they're really going to try and create a more of an experience.
Which is good.
Yeah, which I think it'll be a really good thing for downtown Salt Lake. That area has a lot of great stuff in it already. I mean, the Gateway is right there, and to add to that area and revitalize a lot of it, especially I think south, is a little older. North of the arena, because that's where like the Triad Center and stuff is. Yeah. It's like a big ugly parking lot and stuff there. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. But it was crazy because when I was talking to you about it last week, there was a rumor that ESPN had broken a story that Phoenix players were told to find places to live in Utah, in Salt Lake. And they kind of broke that story. And everyone knew Salt Lake was looking for a hockey team and was going to get one. They just didn't know where. And Phoenix sucks. So their last game in their arena, 5,000-person arena, by the way, is what they were playing in. So that tells you.
Well, they're second to last.
Yeah, they're – well, who's last then? Who's worse?
Chicago right now.
Oh, that makes sense because every fucking Chicago team on the planet is horrible.
Yeah. Right now, Blackhawks are dead last.
In fact, Chicago just got their asses beat 4-0 by Real on Saturday. Like, just got a drubbing. From a team, by the way, Real Salt Lake, that had no center backs on the roster for the game. Both of our starting center backs got scrubbed. Our other two are out for the season, most likely, with long-term injuries. So we had two not normally playing center backs play center backs. Like, guys that played midfield and maybe were fullback, but they were playing center back, both of them. So, and we beat Chicago 4-0.
So for anybody that cares, Dallas lost to Vegas last night. But New York beat Washington. So those are of my teams that are playing in the Stanley Cup, those are the two.
How's the Avalanche doing? I haven't paid attention since I talked to you last
They
week.
Lost to Winnipeg last night.
Did they lose the series or just
No. This is just
this is just game one of the series, yeah.
Carolina and the New York Islanders are the only So Carolina and the New York Islanders have played two games. Carolina's won both. And Boston and Toronto have played two games and it's 1-1. Okay. So most people have only played one or two games right now.
That's
so
what I thought.
Yeah, so this is just first round. It'll be into next week. Next week or the following before we get through the first round.
If I had more time, I'd watch more hockey.
Depending on how the teams go.
But because I do like hockey a lot. I'm a big fan. So.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what we do. I'm excited to have our own team.
Excited enough to get season tickets?
Maybe.
You should. Like, they started taking deposits.
Like, because we were going to get season tickets to the Grizzlies, but we're like,
yeah. This would be much better.
This would be a lot better.
Yeah. I mean, you should.
Well, the cool thing for me, at least for the first couple of years, is getting to watch all the teams I like. Hopefully we're decent, but even if we suck, being able to watch the Rangers.
Just going
to
throw this out there. It's a business expense. All you got to do is take clients to a game. You know, if Heather can't go or give tickets away, it becomes a business expense for you.
That's true.
Fuck, I should do that with our RSL tickets. I should, if I give them away to clients at times.
Occasionally, like,
I totally should. Yeah.
Or...
Yeah. That's a business. That's how fucking Bree's sister writes off the whole damn suite. The box.
Well,
again,
technically,
it's
my brother-in-law does.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's tied to the business. And they've, I mean, I don't know who the hell is in there half the time. So, anyway, okay. So I think, by the way, that the Hill Aerospace Museum has announced this specifically in celebration of the month of May with us, because in May is our 8-year anniversary,
right.
And those guys love us. And I think the whole reason that they're doing this is because,
well, wasn't it right about May last
year? It was supposed to be fucking October of last year when they were supposed to open it. Cause it was about this time last year when we went out there, and sat with them and had the director of the museum director talk to us about a whole bunch of stuff. Love that dude. He was awesome. But like, he was saying, like, he thinks October time frame. Well, it's not May. So May 2nd, they've just announced it. May 2nd, they will begin, they've announced and they will open up their new gallery, which is the LS Skaggs Gallery, which basically means
episode 350.
Yeah.
For anybody who cares, is when we went to the Hill Aerospace Museum. Yeah. And at that time, he announced that they were getting close.
Yeah. And he said he thought October-ish, like in the fall. Alas, things happen. It's the spring. It's not just
February 16th of last year.
Yeah, so a little over a year ago.
Hey, speaking of the NHL thing, I just saw something where there's a free admission for welcome the team on the 24th.
Yep.
Yeah.
Meet the team.
So the Hill,
anyway,
back to Hill. So it's a whole nother hangar. So they had two. Now they have a third hangar. Full of stuff for you to check out. They move stuff around. You definitely should go out and see it. If you have never been there, I can't recommend highly enough going out there. It's just
it's
amazing.
It's free. They accept donations, so please donate. But it's free. You don't
go this weekend. They're closed the 27th through the 30th. I'm guessing part of why they're closed the 27th through the 30th is in preparation for
the grand opening.
Is that this coming? That is this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's in preparation for the grand opening of the new wing. And so they probably have to finish moving stuff.
For those that haven't been there, you go through the first one and you're like, wow, this is quite the experience. Oh, look, there's another door. There's a whole second hangar.
Full of aircraft and
you
stuff.
You could spend, easily an hour in each hangar, and that's kind of trucking.
That's going fast. That's what we did. Like, we were there for like 3 hours and I still felt like we went really fast. Like, we weren't reading all the plaques.
No.
We weren't.
Well, like the Vietnam thing, we just did a brief stop there. The women of World War II bombers, we just did
cool.
Brief. I mean, we were, yeah.
There, I'm sure there was stuff we didn't even actually really get a look at.
Well, some of that, first flight, when you very first walk in and it's like the early history of flight, we didn't look at that stuff. A whole lot. We definitely could have looked at that more. But anyway, to add a whole nother hangar, I mean,
tons of stuff.
Could easily spend 4 hours there.
And they have those simulator experiences. Mm-hmm. I think they have I saw that they had a simulator experience for an A-10 Warthog now.
Yeah, they've got, it's two or three
now. That's what that one does. and then fucking shoots like 30 millimeter fucking rounds. People, you got to understand how big these fucking rounds are. I saw a picture, I guess a meme in a sense, but it's like people think the gun is this big, and it's like the tip coming out of the belly of the A-10 underneath the cockpit. And then it shows like a second picture. This is actually the gun, and it's the whole fucking length of the plane is this cannon that fires these rounds.
Like, just the barrel is the size of a Volkswagen.
Yeah, it's insane. those things are just, they're so crazy, and they can just take tons of damage and still fly.
And the whole idea behind it is, how can we get a gun to fly?
Yeah, that's basically what they did. So, but yeah, we recommend go out to Hill Aerospace Museum. Not this weekend. Go next weekend. It'll probably be busy with the opening of that, but it's got another hangar. So, and you can go check out all the stuff outside as well. It's free.
I know they moved some of the stuff from outside in, but then when we met with him last year, he was saying they had a whole
bunch of stuff they were putting together for it.
That's in a completely separate hangar, storage hangar that they're putting together and working on to come out for this.
Yeah.
For this new hangar. So I'm excited for it.
And we'll have to go see it this summer.
Yeah. We might have to make it another adventure, even though we've done it before. It's that cool.
Yeah. It's really freaking awesome and fucking free. You should donate, but it's 100% free, and it's a great activity. If you have kids, oh my gosh.
Well, and the old guys there are old Air Force, retired Air Force.
Oh, yeah. They love talking about this
stuff. That are doing, I mean, it's, you might be able to do tours. There's not necessarily tours, but there's these old guys walking around, and they want you to ask them questions.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Speaking of adventures, that's what, this week is. It is Phoebe Fart in Bree's general direction.
That's every week.
Yeah, I'm glad that she likes to sit between you guys under the table, because she just sits there and like, she went poop outside before the podcast. We were out there. She was pooping. Anyway, it's Utah Adventure Week. And the adventure is not my dog's farts. The adventure this week. So again, we've been trying to stay fairly local, not do anything too crazy. Our lives are insane right now. Over the next couple of months, Jeremy is...
We don't want his chest to explode.
Yeah, he's almost recovered. We've got some really crazy adventures coming up, but we wanted, again, somewhat subdued. And so we got talking and we're like, well, you know, we talk a lot about Sundance and we've talked a lot about the independent films that we have access to in Utah. And I said, well, why don't we go see a movie at the Broadway cinemas, which for those of you who don't know, there's always been this theater in town called the Tower. They might even still do movie rentals. Do they still do movie rental out of the Tower?
I don't know, cause the Tower is closed for renovation, but you can, when you go onto the website, there's like a option for like at home watching. So
yeah, so the Tower is this old theater on 9th and 9th that has two screens, I think, maybe just one, and it's cool, but they would show, like, they do the Rocky Horror Picture Show there,
right.
They actually are throwing vegetables and shit at the screen and at the people, and have people dress up on stage with the movie in the background, that whole experience. And they show a lot of independent films, a lot of hard to find stuff. And so that's been around for a long time. We'll talk a little bit about the history, but the Broadway cinemas, are on Broadway, on 3rd South and roughly like State Street, like between State Street and 1st South or 2nd South or 2nd East.
3rd and State.
Yeah. So basically, between State Street and 2nd East, that's what it would be, on 3rd South, right next to the Copper Onion. It's a theater. Now, they do regular movies, but they also are a lot of independent films. Mm-hmm. So we decided let's go see a film at those theaters. And there, we'll talk about a lot of the experience, because there's a lot of other things about this theater that makes it a lot more unique than others. So yeah, we're going to dive into that. Do you want to talk a little bit about history?
Oh, I went down a rabbit hole with the history. So yes, yeah, so I sure do.
I will say this. It's not easy to just find their history. You really have to dig, because the building itself has some history. And then Salt Lake Film Society has history. They don't exactly have wiki pages, and Salt Lake Film Society doesn't, their website sucks.
Yep.
If I'm being honest.
So I did a deep dive and I went down a rabbit hole. So I want to start, and this will all make sense. This will all make sense. I want to start with 1891, the Newt I don't know if it's Knutsford or Knutsford. It's a Swedish name.
It'd be Knutsford.
Knutsford Hotel was built on the exact same site. Built in 1891, and it was their whole thing was that it was an indestructible hotel. Cost of $750,000 in 1891. Had 250 rooms, and it was made primarily of granite, the same granite that they built the LDS Temple and the Cathedral of Madeleine.
The granite that's out of the
That comes out of there. And it was like, it was a big deal hotel. Like, I remember hearing of it briefly, like in college and architecture, but when I saw the pictures and kind of did some, it was like the most premier hotel in the Western United States. The guy that owned it also owned the Angelus, which was in Los Angeles, and they were often advertised together. 1912, it was remodeled and converted into the Auerbach, A-U-E-R-B-A-C-H, Auerbach, a department store, and it housed Sears and Roebuck from 1928 to 1933. In 1933, for reasons I couldn't really find why, they tore it down. And in its place, December 24th, 1937, the Center Theater opened.
Yeah, that was a long time that theater was in there.
So the Center Theater, the very first movie it played was with Carol Lombard and Fred McMurray, True Confession. at the time, it was considered one of the finest theaters in Salt Lake. It was Art Deco style, and it had a 90-foot tower out front.
That was a big tower that said Center Theater on it. Yeah,
and it was built and funded by Paramount Pictures and Intermountain Theaters. In 1941, it was operated by Paramount Pictures through a subsidiary of Tracy Barham, which I don't know the whole.
And it's weird to see pictures from back then, too, because, like, this building, you have to understand where it's at now, it's all high rises.
Yeah.
So, like, we're talking, like, the smallest building in the area. It's, like, probably five stories, right? But, like, back then, that tower really stuck out.
Yeah, 90 feet tall back then.
There was nothing near it. Like, there were other buildings, but I think, like, the tallest building was maybe three stories. And so this spire, like, just stood above everything.
The theater had 1,623 seats and a 56-foot wide screen, which at the time was
massive,
astronomical. In 1959, they updated and made an even bigger screen, which brought it down to over 1,100 seats. Still huge. 1989, the Cineplex Odeon.
So, and I want to say, keep in mind, that's 1,100 seats. This is one theater.
One theater.
It's not a bunch of little theaters like we have now in these, like, megaplexes and stuff. This is one theater with over 1,000 people in it.
Yep. So, 1989, by 1989, it's owned by Cineplex Odeon. They let their lease run out, and the building was demolished.
Yep. So, in 89, that's when they tore, and the 90-foot Deco Tower was saved.
And they tried putting it on the new building.
But they decided it wasn't worthwhile and it wasn't structurally sound.
So December 1991, it's now the Cineplex. So originally the Knutson Hotel, then the Center Theater. Now it's a Cineplex Theater.
Yeah, the Cineplex Odeon opens it as the Broadway Center Cinemas in 91.
And the first two movies they showed, Father Bride and JFK.
I watched Father of the Bride on my first honeymoon.
Nice.
And it's important that at this point, so this is the early 90s, they put in Dolby Stereo sound systems, which was the big thing back then, and 1,600 seats across six auditoriums. Yes. And essentially that's what it is today. It's the same, I think there's maybe more than six now, but.
So, I don't think so. I think when we went there were.
It might be six, yeah.
I think there were three on each side.
So probably six.
Yeah, it might still be six. I don't think they've expanded it.
Mm-mm. So in 2001, the Cineplex Odeons go bankrupt. So it's then reopened as a Megaplex. Oh, no, sorry. When the Megaplex 12 at the Gateway reopens.
So it reopens. So Cineplex Odeon goes bankrupt in 2001.
Yeah.
And this gets opened up basically right away as Consolidated Starship Theater chain.
Right.
So basically, like, Odeon folds, another group buys this, but it was not a great
No.
It was not a great decision because that's when the Megaplex at the Gateway opens.
Yeah. Which was huge and at the time new and
so I'm going to get a little detailed on how movies work because this is really important to kind of what has happened to this theater over the years. So a lot of people think movie theaters get to choose their movies. They don't. So if you are a movie theater, if you own a movie theater, even a dollar theater, the studios decide who gets movies when. And so it goes a lot deeper than that, especially now with all the digital stuff. But the studios decide, okay, these theaters get first run. And so at the time in 2001, when the Gateway opens up downtown, like this huge theater, in this Olympic complex that was built for the Olympics in 2001.
It was when it was still like, people were still going there.
Well, 2001, busy. So it's right after the Olympics.
Yeah.
Oh, no, the Olympics was right before. So it's like
Gateway had just been built.
In conjunction.
And you have this, and there's no other, you gotta understand, in Salt Lake, the greater Salt Lake area, like in downtown, there's no other theater, really.
Like, what's like, the new one, Creek?
City Creek?
City Creek didn't exist yet.
No, it was still ZCMI Center and the Civic Center. Wasn't it the Civic Center?
No, you call it the Civic Center every damn time.
It starts with a C, but there were two.
You confuse me. I don't know what you're talking about.
I swear to God, it was the Civic
Center. It's not the Civic Center.
But there was ECMI.
You swear to God all you want, but it wasn't.
And there was another mall across the street that started with a C. But anyway, there weren't really big theaters downtown. And so what happens is the movie theater production companies decide who gets these first runs. And so their decision is we're going to give first runs to Gateway. So what that means is for the first like 2 or 3 weeks that a movie's out, this theater on Broadway, which at the time was owned by this random company, doesn't get new movies. And so instead of getting the hot new thing, they get it 3 or 4 weeks after everyone's already watched it at the Gateway. And that's kind of how it works. They determine what times you get to show it. The reporting on the theater stuff is insane that they have to do back to the agencies. They can only offer free tickets on certain nights.
If you get second or third showing, you can't charge the full amount. So each theater it goes to later as it goes on and on, that's when you get the $5 theaters, the $1 theaters.
Well, you can charge whatever you want to charge in a sense. There's just a certain amount that has to go back to, the studios basically. So it's really fucking weird how the studios control movies with theaters to the point like with the digital stuff now because they're so afraid of piracy and videos getting taken. Theaters don't actually get to touch their movie servers at all. They're all on timers. If their times are off, the movies start when the movies fucking start. So it used to be the reels and stuff. Yep. It's all digital now. So the movies download automatically to their server and they get removed when they're not able to show them anymore. And the movies that download to their server, if it says they start at 7:15, it starts at 7:15.
There's Crossroads Plaza.
Crossroads. Civic Center. Same difference.
No, you do that every time and every time.
I knew
I have to
it
look
started
it up
with a
because
C.
You're wrong
I remember
every time.
Crossroads.
So anyway, so that, I mean, that really like, and the Gateway, you have to understand what's like 5 blocks away. Like it's not far. Yeah, it's not far from where the Broadway, cinema is. So yeah, they struggled, dramatically and basically they ended up having to close. Or go bankrupt, I think.
Yeah, so right? They went, well, yeah. So, the Broadway Center Cinema was renamed the Broadway Film Center, and they were converted into an art film theater to compete with the Film Society at the Tower Theater, which we'll talk about the Tower Theater next. So, originally it was set up to compete with the Tower Theater. However, after a court battle, a bunch of stuff, eventually, it was taken over by the Salt Lake Film Society.
Yeah, and there's not a lot of... I tried to find detail on that
not
whole
a lot
thing.
Of detail.
What it sounds like is the Salt Lake Film Society basically did a hostile takeover because the Broadway Film Center, the management of that group, was not in a great spot. And they had to go to court and basically force that management team
out
of the building. Like, they couldn't get them out after they bought it. And so now it's owned and run by the Salt Lake Film Society, who also owns and runs the Tower Theater.
So, do you want to switch? Is there anything else on that, or do you want to switch to the Tower?
Yeah, I think we can... we can talk about the Tower Theater, yeah. Right. We didn't go to the Tower Theater. It's closed right now, no. To be fair, but we have been there.
So Tower Theater is the original independent Broadway is such. But the original Tower Theater was built in 1921, and it is currently the oldest movie theater in the Salt Lake Valley, still in operation today. It was also the first air-conditioned movie theater in the city, and one of the first in the Western United States to have air conditioner. The original facade resembled the Tower of London. It had a great big tower on the top, and that's why it was called the Tower Theater. But they removed it in the 1950s, and in 1952, they put the facade that we now know and recognize. Were they updating that with these updates, or was it just an interior?
I'm not sure what all the updates entail, but I thought that it was supposed to be reopened last year, and it's not yet, so.
In 1952, the Tower Theater was leased out to the Tower Corporation. Back in the 50s, there was an article from the Deseret News that the owner said that their intention is to operate the tower as a truly art theater. So even back in the 50s.
That's what it was designed.
What they wanted. When they took it over, built in the 20s, when they took it over in the 50s, that's what they wanted to be was an art house. So really, it has been an art house for, what does that mean, 70 years now?
Yeah.
Where they've done independent.
Which is a really important thing.
Right. The theater closed in 1988, stood vacant for a couple of years. July 1991, Greg Tanner reopened it, 480-seat, one theater. And I don't know if maybe the upgrades are to switch it to two theaters, but I'm not exactly sure. Let's take a quick look at what they're doing currently. 480-seat, single theater. They started showing everything, and it's funny because there was a – so here in Utah, you have the Deseret News, which is owned by the church, and you have the Salt Lake Tribune, which is not the church.
Which is now owned by the church.
Which is now. But there was a funny article that said that they were really upset because they said the theater was showing softcore porn in the 90s.
Well, you have to keep in mind, too, these are the same sort of people that tried to go after Broovies for showing a show that had nudity in it while beer was being served. So,
however, the owners of it said, no, we show anything and everything, and we put a disclaimer on everything.
These are art.
Art films. We do not censor. We do not.
In fact, when we were there prior to the film starting, and we'll get into that, but on the screen they play a whole bunch of stuff, Salt Lake Film Society. But I want to point out one of the things that is on the screen multiple times before the film starts. And it says, in an effort to preserve the idea of artists, films will be presented as is regardless of subject matter. SLFS expects all audiences to self-select their choice of films and do their own research on potentially triggering stories before attending. They're not going to fucking censor it. That's the whole point, is film is art, especially independent film.
And this quote from this newspaper article I said, the owners at the time said, I think that Salt Lake has never had a higher quality art theater. Not since the tower held the status in the 1960s. We feel that there will be a lot more support for an artistic theater here. So anyway, they have never shied away from the fact that
that's their goal.
This is art, and we're not censoring anybody's art. It's your responsibility as a consumer
to understand what you're going in for, because this is freedom of speech and it's artistic.
And we show anything that we want to, basically.
Including softcore porn.
Brie, did you find an update on the current renovations?
They're talking about the fact that they are renovating it. They're not going to let it go away. Like, they're not, it's not, but they're, like, it looks like, let's see. Our inspiration is to repair and renovate the 1928 Tower Theater as environmentally responsible, as it an environmentally responsible hub for cultural, nostalgic, modern, and uncensored cinematic experiences. As an economic cultural anchor in 9th and 9th, the tower will remain a safe haven for underrepresented voices and individuals. Let's see.
So not really saying what.
Trailblaze environmental responsibility.
Yeah. So all of that is to say,
they do not anticipate the tower opening in 2023.
My guess is the Tower Theater, based on when it was built, is full of asbestos.
Absolutely.
All over the place. And to do any renovations was always going to be a monumental undertaking.
Asbestos, and I guarantee you, lead pipes,
so they're going to have to replace all that stuff, because as soon as you open something like that up, you have to bring it up to code.
Yep.
And so all of that stuff's going to have to be replaced. It's probably was fucking knob and tube wiring too, based on the, being built in the 20s.
Well, a different article I said, I want to say it was 2000. 2013 when we had the massive heat wave. They actually had to close the theater during the day and only do evenings because it was so hot and the air conditioner couldn't handle it.
It couldn't handle it, yeah.
Okay. So, it says, The Tower Marquee was retrofitted to repair the rain leaks, protect new electrical installations, and to improve rain and weathering. This repair can only be seen from the top of the marquee. New rain gutters were installed. Roofing repairs took place. They sealed brick, concrete, and water entry points. Demolition of the lobby has been completed. Allows access to plumbing and electrical that will be needed for a new lobby layout, as well as planning steps for an ADA accessible bathroom.
Yep. Oh, so yeah. Probably a pretty significant.
Yeah, because if I remember right, like there was no ADA bathroom. It's just a door with a handle and like you can't get a wheelchair in there.
So I think the problem is cost.
Yeah.
Like,
without a doubt.
Again, I mean, the Film Society is supported by donations and people, philanthropic people who donate. So my guess is with just the increased cost of everything and they decided to start it post pandemic, like everything is probably just.
Let's let the dog run upstairs and bark at nothing.
Everything is probably just insanely costing them a lot, and I'm sure that they can only do what they can do when they have funds to do it.
Well, like we were saying, though, as soon as you cut into that stuff,
yep,
you got to take it all out, and you have to take it all out in an environmentally friendly way, which means
it's expensive.
Basically, like bagging and tagging with hazmat suits because asbestos is really fucking cancerous, yep. And it's in the tile, it's in the carpet, it's in the walls. I guarantee it's all over the place.
Yeah.
And so that makes a lot of sense. I wanted to read this thing. So again, it was hard. It's hard to find some of the history of like Salt Lake Film Society. Salt Lake Film Society is relatively new. They've only been around since the early 2000s.
Yeah. So it was in 2000 is when businessman Paul, I'm gonna slaughter this, Lycopopoulos, one of the Greeks. He bought the tower in 2000, and then in 2001 they took over the Broadway. Yeah. So really only 23 years.
So there's a statement in an old cached version of their website, which isn't, it's probably better than their current version, honestly. And he said, we started out with one rundown theater. This is the tower, a rare video collection and a mission to fill an artistic and cultural cinematic gap that existed in our state. And keep in mind, this is at the time when Sundance is really pumping out a lot of independent film. There are, in the early 2000s, there were some major actors and producers and stuff involved in some of the stuff going on at Sundance, but it wasn't what it is today. Sundance was still very, very independent. And the tower has always been one of the places that Sundance would do films.
I remember in college, so this was late 90s.
In the late 1900s.
Late 1900s. Going to the Tower Theater for some of my classes.
Uh-huh. To see films.
See certain films. So.
And they had a video library that they rented. Yeah. They had a rental library.
So it was an environmental preservation class, something environment class. I don't remember exactly. But for part of the class, we got extra credit if we went to the Tower because they were at the time showing a movie about, not the Hoover Dam, but we've talked about it a couple times. Down south, the dams and when they flooded everything. Anyway.
No, that was the Hoover Dam.
Yeah, so that whole thing. So I remember going there to the Tower Theater to watch this independent film about the Hoover Dam and Glen Canyon.
Glen Canyon Dam. Okay, yeah. At the bottom of Lake Powell.
Yeah. So even back in the late 90s, well, I mean, obviously since the 50s they've been doing it, but it's unique and I think it's great. I think it's needed. I think it's important.
Yeah. So that's some history. I want to talk. So it is a place like when Sundance is going on, they show a lot of stuff at the Broadway. They have, you know, six screens. They've done some work in the Broadway. The last time I was in there prior to this, it was still like really shitty old theater seats with like sticky floor type of situation. That's been updated. I'm assuming all of their theaters now are updated like that. I'm sure the tower will get converted to that because that's what it was before. So we're not talking the lush, like recliner style stuff at Cinemark, but they still hold, you know, probably 400 plus people, I would guess, in most of these theaters. But yeah, the seats were comfortable. They were nice. It's very clean. It's small, so you have to keep that in mind. Like, the bathrooms are small. Like, there's three urinals and two stalls in the guy's bathroom. And
oh, they made the girls' bathroom better than the boys' then. There's like 10. No, they don't. That's why there's usually a freaking line for the women's bathroom, is because they're usually the same size.
Also, guys are faster. We have a lot less.
There's like 10 stalls in the women's bathroom.
Nice. So anyway, so the theater itself is much nicer. The interior where the lobby is way nice.
Yeah.
Parking is fine at the Broadway because there's
they validate.
So make sure you take your ticket in with you after you.
From the garage that's right next to, the Copper
Onion. And they'll validate it for you.
And they validate. It's good for 5 hours too, he said. So the cool thing is you can go get your ticket validated. You can go to dinner.
Yeah, make
it. You can watch a show. Let's start with the initial experience in the lobby. So they have a lot of old posters and stuff up. From things that they do, and they have some current films they're doing.
The last time I was there, if I'm guessing 12, 13 years ago. So going there, my very first impression was, wow, they've really made some significant changes. And this is nice. Like, they had that big screen when you walked in.
They have these nice seating areas that are very artistic and in theme.
I think it's a place for folks to wait because there are just a few theaters, and so turnover isn't as slow as it is in a big megaplex.
I think they also space their movies a lot further apart.
Yeah, it's not like it's not.
No, one was at 7, one was at 9.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's not one at 7, 7:15.
Yeah, but it's an hour and a half movie.
Yeah, but that's not a long time to make sure that everybody gets out of the theater, that you go in and then you clean up and then you have it ready for the next people and you can't let anybody in. Anyway, they have a place for you to sit down and wait if your theater is not ready.
The thing is with the mega theaters is they're starting a movie like every 15 minutes, so it's always packed.
Yeah, they've got them spread out enough that... Yeah, and then it never felt super busy, although they had six screens of stuff playing at any given time.
So first impression, 2 thumbs up. It was nice.
First impression, not 2 thumbs up. I will say this. Salt Lake Film Society's website sucks.
Yes.
I love the fact that we have that theater.
It's horrible.
But the navigation around the Salt Lake Film Society website, which Salt Lake Film Society is the website you go to buy tickets for the theaters. The thing is, like, they have a bunch of their movies showing, but like if you click on Now Playing and Buy Tickets, you can't see a calendar. You can see a date up top and you can click between the dates, but they only show one movie at a time. So if you're interested in seeing, for instance, we went and saw, it was one night only, it was Con Air, because they're doing this thing. They do, aside from independent films, they also do these special like pseudo festivals. So like they're doing this one right now called Cage Match, which is a bunch of Nick Cage movies,
which is awesome.
Like they're showing, you know, one movie gets two showings, and then they move on to the next one.
I mean, we're going to see another one because we had so much fun.
Yeah. But like, so you go find that movie and then you have to click through the damn days to find.
But they don't put all of the dates that they're available until it gets closer to.
Which, by the way, is even more annoying when there's a movie that you want to see that's like an independent film.
So.
Right? So there's like a film called Sasquatch Sunset.
The whole point in this was we wanted to see an independent film, but because of our schedules and only being able to see like 3 days out at a time, what we ended up having to do is say, this is the day we are going. We will see whatever is showing.
And that's part of why we chose Con Air, because that was when we could schedule far enough in advance.
Yeah.
So it was a little frustrating. It was a lot frustrating. I'm not going to lie. They really need to redo the way their tickets are handled. Maybe give you a calendar so you can click on a date and see
everything that's showing on that day.
If they would just show what's on Friday, available on Friday, that would be good, but instead you have to click on every damn film just to find.
And if you click on it and then you're like, oh, that doesn't have the date that I want, you have to go all the way back out.
Yeah. So for instance, there's this film, La Chimera, and if I click on it and I'm like, okay, I want to go see it on Friday, and I scroll through the days to Friday and I'm like, well, okay, they don't have any showings on Friday. Well, let me try this other film, and you click on it and it resets your fucking day to Tuesday because today is Tuesday. It is so not intuitive. And so I will say from a first impression standpoint, that's annoying as shit, and well, I think it hurts them.
Yes, and I don't, and it's not like you don't know if it doesn't show up on that, on the date that you're looking for, it's not necessarily not playing.
Yeah, it could be that they just don't have the next week posted yet. And that goes back to some of the rules with studios and movies and whatnot.
And I get that, but then, like, make note of that somehow, like,
so
more dates to come or something.
100%. Their website needs some work. It is somewhat frustrating to find the movie that we wanted, but
I think somebody too artsy did their. I mean, you have to, like, there's a time and a place to be artsy.
And it's, I mean, and it's dated. It's definitely an older
it's
website.
It's not when you're trying to schedule something. Like, that's when you want to have the practical person that's like, this is what we're doing. Like, you don't, yeah. Anyway.
Okay, so now that we're done with that, let's talk. So we go in the lobby. Getting in was really easy. The tickets are all electronic. They scanned them. We walked in.
And it's nice because if you buy it in a group,
it's one scan.
One scan. It's not like all of the millions of places where we go where it's like scan one, scan two.
And it's
scan
not
three.
Reserved seating. It's open seating like theaters used to be back in the day. I don't think they have the same issue with people showing up 2 hours beforehand to sit in line so they get a good seat. It certainly didn't feel that way.
I think we were the first ones to walk in.
And we were only like 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes early.
Yeah. I mean, and it wasn't like chock full of people either. So one thing.
I mean, there were quite a few people though, like as the time wore on and people came in, there were quite a few people.
So let's talk concessions because this is one of the things that I think Salt Lake Film Society has done a really good job at compared to, so unlike, you know, you go to like Megaplex or Cinemark or any of the big theaters, you know, you have your standard fare, your popcorn, your drinks, your candy, stupid nachos. Hot dogs, nachos. And it's all candy that is like, you know, Twix, Goobers, Snickers, pre-box. You know, the pre-box stuff, the normal theater candy. Salt Lake Film Society does it a little bit different.
Well, they have normal theater candy.
Some, not a ton.
No.
But they also, they specialize in a few things. So one is they have a whole bunch of essentially like bulk food type candy. So the candy that you would get in like the bulk food section.
The wrapping is the same wrapping you get at Harmon's. I don't know this, but I'm wondering if they work with Harmon's.
I doubt it.
No, because the cinnamon gummy bears are not the same.
No, they probably what they do is they have a bulk food supplier that they use. It's just the plastic clamshells.
But they brand it like Salt Lake Film Society candies and you get like we got chocolate cinnamon gummy bears.
Yeah, generic chocolate covered gummy bears.
I got
or
the licorice.
They have nuts and they have almonds and dried fruit and they also have like the nice candies. They have gummy things. Jeremy had the weird licorice it was really good.
But I actually like.
They also have Ritter sports bars, which Ritter is an amazing chocolate. If you've never had one, they're fantastic. They're not super pricey. They are super pricey from like a candy bar standpoint, but they're definitely worth it. I will say all the candy there was $5. Didn't matter what you got. Yeah. It was $5 flat, which was really nice to have all of that stuff be at the same price point. They had popcorn. They had fountain sodas that you filled up yourself. They gave you
they had
cup.
Ginger ale.
Yep. They know their audience. Ginger ale, root beer, Sprite.
Old people.
But they also had coffee, which I've never seen.
They did have, and not just any coffee. They had a coffee bar where you could get like any fancy coffee drink you wanted. They had hot teas, a selection of hot teas. They also had, pizza. They had hot pretzels.
Pretzels. Yep.
I had a cookie.
They had, did they have a sandwich or something like that? I want to say they had like a, they had empanadas. That was
the other
thing.
That's what it was. Yep. Empanadas.
And kind of like, I wouldn't say cooked to order, but warmed up to order, basically. Like, they weren't just sitting out.
Yeah, like, wait. They gave me my popcorn, but Jeremy had to wait for his pretzel. Yep. Chris
had to wait for my slice of pizza. Yeah. And it was good. It was just fine.
My pretzel was good. Salty, but good.
I didn't feel like concessions were overpriced by any stretch. In fact, they were probably cheaper than what you get at the regular theater.
I think I paid $17 for a big pretzel, a drink, and then one of the things of candy.
Yeah, and so we got a couple things of candy, popcorn, two drinks, a piece of pizza, and a cookie for like $40. So it's no different than
what you
pay going anywhere.
But I think the quality of it is better.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that.
Like, you got your pizza on a plate. Like, yeah. It wasn't, like, in some weird prefab thingy or whatever.
And I like to, when I go to a theater like that, I really do like to pay for concessions because that's how they make their money. And that's one way to keep them going and support them is to buy concessions at the theater. So that was cool. I really like their concessions quite a bit. And again, for the number of people there, they had a ton of people. It was a Friday night and there were a ton of people working concessions. Yep. There were not a ton of people. No one had to wait. Like, the people that even came in after us, no one was waiting in line, which was really great.
We were the earlier show, so maybe the later show gets a little busier.
But. Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. So the movie itself was great. I don't have anything but good things to say about Con Air. I forgot how
it was kind of fun because it's not like your normal theater, right? Like, this is an old movie that people love and watch, and we love it and watch it because it's so bad it's good now.
Well, so it came out, I want to say 97 is when it came out.
Somewhere in there.
But it was a serious movie when it came out.
Yeah, well, and one of the reasons we wanted to see it was...
How do I?
One of the reasons we wanted to see it is because, well, we went to the Wendover Airfield this last summer.
Yes.
And if you ever go out there, the plane from Con Air is there. And not only that, but basically the whole damn movie was filmed in the Wendover Airfield.
Pretty much.
Anytime they're taking off or landing, with the exception of when they crash land on the Vegas Strip.
In Vegas.
It was in Wendover.
Yep.
They show the Wendover Tower I don't know how many times from different angles. Like,
and then, so it's funny because they're coming out of this big metropolis city and in the very beginning, all the buses and everything, but they very clearly roll across the Wendover parking lot.
Yeah, across the airfield. Yeah.
So they just film it in different.
Yeah. Like, they actually used filming to like do the cuts and like they land in Carson City.
And it's a dust storm,
but it's Wendover. You can tell it's Wendover.
Oh yeah. And they're flying over the Great Salt Lake and they're flying over the salt flats.
Oh, at one point they land. And he's like, oh, it's going to be dusty out here. And Brie goes, that's salt, not dust. Because it's clearly the salt flats.
It was hilarious.
Yeah, it's a good
idea. But I started that out with is when you're watching an old movie like that.
Oh, people have fun.
We were having fun. We were cheering. Well, we weren't, but people were cheering and clapping.
Well, and yelling the famous quotes from the movie.
Yeah. Well, and it's so fucking cheesy. Like, it was supposed to be so serious and watching it. Now you're like, man, that accent that Cage like slipped in and out of through the movie is awful. It's so bad. And like, just like some of the lines.
Hummingbird.
Yeah. Some of the lines in that movie, you're just
She's
like,
my hummingbird.
Well, and then the music, because the very end.
So they're like, when they're dancing to the Lynyrd Skynyrd song in the airplane because they think they're free. And the guy that Steve Buscemi plays, who's a total fucking psycho, killed like 130 people or something. He's like, That's irony.
Define irony.
Yeah, define irony. A bunch of morons on a plane dancing to a song made famous by a band
who died in a plane crash. So, my biggest surprise was apparently I know
the whole
lots
thing.
Of the words from Con Air, and I can't remember the last time I actually watched.
But you're quoting Con Air,
but like word for word, I knew like probably 25% of the movie.
So like she would lean over to me and say something and then the line would come across the movie and I'm like, we've been together like what, almost 15 years. I've never watched Con Air with you in my fucking entire time existing with you. How do you remember all these quotes?
So funny.
I don't know why I know that many quotes to Con Air. Like, I think I've maybe seen that movie
subconsciously
five times or something.
You must really love it on a subconscious level.
I guess.
It is. I love it. I love that movie.
It was a lot of fun. So subsequently, the movie that we really wanted to go see was Raising Arizona.
But it was too late for us to see it and give this to you the last day of the month, as is our schedule.
And so, as friends,
we're going to see Raising Arizona.
For one thing, Jeremy's wife, Heather, really loves to go to the movies, and she was babysitting, and she wasn't able to go to the movie with us. And so I felt really awful, because I'm like, she, like, loves movies. She loves to go to the movies.
So when they threw up the movie we really wanted to go see was the 27th, I was like, okay, Heather, we're going
like,
again.
Like, he gets out his phone, and he's texting, and in, you know, right before, like, the preview, during the previews, he's like, we're going, she's in, and so... And then we mentioned it to a couple of their friends. So now the eight of us are we're going to go see Raising Arizona in the theater and go to dinner before and patronize the Broadway.
Yeah. So, I want to talk a little bit about, so the Broadway, they do have publicly, sort of publicly available financial data. So you can find it if you want to go looking. And I just want, because every year they post something, and they talk about, they've got some of their, they got their mission statement and like a land acknowledgement that, hey, this used to be the homeland of a bunch of different, Native American tribes. But they also present numbers for the year. And so, I couldn't find 2023 yet, but 2022, so 57,028, was the total audience over the course of the year. They had 53 filmmakers and artists attend special events. 7,200 patrons attended free of charge and 4,700 attended with reduced admission. So if you are a member of Salt Lake Film Society, if you are a patron, there are different levels and you get free movie access or discounted movie access.
I know for a lot of people that live here, locals, well, probably not just locals, but, they join because they're part of the Sundance Film Festival. And for the actual Sundance Film Festival, obviously only a small number of people can actually get in to see those movies, but they'll play them at these theaters. So it gives you a chance to see those Sundance movies at the Broadway around the same time as actual Sundance.
And they have everything from what they call a silver screener, which is $3 a month. It's for senior citizens and students. They have like some regular stuff at like $5 a month, $12 a month, all the way up to basically $5,000 a year, which is like a little over $400 a month, different levels. And with that, you get different, access. So you get like, there's a VIP and Founders Lounge for the highest level and, a perk of how much off of concessions you get. But basically from what I can gather, any level gets you 20% off of concessions, 20% off of regular ticket pricing, and, some days with special admissions, like, $5 on any, regular screening on a Tuesday, for example. And then the perks go up from there depending on what level, you join. So there's a lot of different ways to support them, especially if you live downtown near it, so. There's a bunch of educational stuff. So they had 2,052 attending educational question and answer reception and discussion events. 277 films were presented. 358 total films and events. So they do a bunch of special events there. 253 screening programs and 54 special events.
So 350, that's a new film every day.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of films. In terms of some of the stats. Directors and lead artists that were represented in the films. 153 were women, so that's 55% of the 277. 51% were from predominantly people of color. They have a bunch of international films, so 40% of them were international films. So they've got a bunch of those kind of numbers. International films is a big thing. Mm-hmm. It's hard to find international films in a lot of theaters. The Broadway is where you're going to want to go for that.
Well, because the mainstream theaters don't show like stuff from the Cannes Film Festival in France.
Yeah, sometimes it's really hard to find that. Yeah,
unless it was a huge Schindler's List kind of movie, you're not going to find it at somewhere other than the Broadway.
And they did, like I said, 42% were international films, so 116 represented 40 different countries and 27 languages.
Holy cow.
So Arabic, Cantonese, Chadian Arabic, Czech, Danish, Dzongkha, which is some weird language I don't fucking know, but like all over the spectrum. Like,
that must be the movie The Gods Must Be Crazy. Do you remember that? Where it's like takes place in like they throw the Coke bottle out and it lands in some tribe. Anyway, never mind.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
They, like, a Coke bottle gets thrown out like a plane or something and it lands in like a tribe and they think it's like something special.
They've never seen it before.
Anyway. They do a bunch of different film festivals. So they do like Film Mexico where they show a bunch of Mexican films. They had, a climate change film tour that they did. They did a Pacific Islander film tour in 2022. So a lot of different stuff. They do, screenings of National Theater Live. So you get to see people on stage being screened in the theater. which happens. So just a lot of really cool shit. So broadly speaking, though, financials, they did $4.8 million in revenue, in 2022. Of that, about $3 million was from grants and public funding.
So a huge chunk of it comes
like 60-ish percent comes from grants and public funding. So that would be, and then you've got individual contributions. That would be your donors and stuff. That's $190,000. In-kind donations is $128,000. Sponsorship dollars was another $60,000. So really the net of what they're getting from just the programs and the concessions is just shy of $1 million or right around $1 million. So, well, I guess like 1.1 million? No, about $1 million. I'm sorry. I'm just like trying to add these up in my head. About $1 million a year is what they're doing in revenue from concessions and, the films themselves.
What the hell is that noise?
It's the dog. The
dog. She's got her apple.
Oh, she's got the crinkle paper thing. Like it got really loud all of a sudden. So yeah, they're not, so that's what I, when we talk about like supporting them, going there, seeing the movies is a big deal. Joining their club, their little movie club is a big deal. And again, they're the ones that do the Rocky Horror Picture Show right. If you want to see independent films, that's where to go. I would definitely recommend going. They do these special, like this cage match stuff is great. They're doing a Spider-Man thing as well.
They call it Spider-Man Sunday or something like that.
Yeah. But they're doing every Spider-Man film. So if you want to go see a Spider-Man film on the big screen, you're not going to be able to do that at like Megaplex, but
all of them.
Yeah. They're going to show them all, not in one day, but over the course of a month or two, they're going to show every major Spider-Man film that's been released over the years.
Not just the new Marvel ones, like the old.
The old Toby Sony, Tobey Maguire, the upside down Spider-Man kiss, you know, in the rain.
So they do fun things. It's not all just independent movies.
Yeah. So they put together stuff like that. That's really
this
fun.
Cage match. And at the beginning, they had this little promo for the cage match.
That's so great. So he's funny. Been in so many bad movies.
So many.
Okay. So let's, grab a card here.
Weekly affirmation.
This is it's pink. Oh, shit, I spilled them all. Hold on.
Oh, you had one job.
Maybe it doesn't want me to tell this card, but we're reading it. Fuck you, box. It's happening. You are not your situation. One of the keys to becoming spiritual as fuck is to define you or define who you are by something deeper inside yourself and further outside yourself than the world can touch. You are someone even if you're not your financial situation, your job, your relationships, or even your body. Find out who that person is and you'll be unfuckwithable. Mm-hmm. Hint, you'll probably have to do some soul searching. It's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Don't know who needed to hear that. Salt Lake Film Society, give me a buzz if you want a real fucking website that doesn't suck. I don't know if I have time for it, but I would help. I'm guessing
mine's first. You got to do mine before you do theirs.
Yeah, that's true. I did help you with some IT stuff though.
You did.
So, please join our Patreon, patreon.com/TNUP. You can, reach us on social media at TNU Podcast. Instagram probably is where most people reach out, honestly.
Lately, that's where we get the bulk of our.
Not that we won't answer in any other spot, but Instagram seems to be where everyone is flocking to. So, who knows? Maybe I'll do some more TikToks.
Why?
One
we won't have it.
We'll have TikTok. It's not going anywhere. Yeah. So, enjoy. Hopefully you have a good week. It's going to rain at the end of the week, I hope.
Get your gardens planted, people.
Yeah.